Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Chicagoland. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN along with my pal, Mr. Dave Schwann. Good morning, Dave, to you.
Good morning, Mr. Plyer.
At least we're not reporting on any snowstorms here in Chicago.
Not here, but we are definitely reporting on things that are starting to break, actually, out east. The cleanup is underway, but had a story overnight about dozens of people being displaced that lived in an apartment building, roof collapse because of the weight of the heavy snow there.
Wow.
And reports of up to 18 people have been killed as a result of this storm. So this was definitely one for the books.
There's a lot stranded on a lot of the roads still. Or there's cars.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I was in New York for a snowstorm, and I'm trying to think what year it was, but it was in the 2000s because I lived in New York for a while, but I went back to visit, and there was about 20 inches of snow that happened. And I was there for a conference, and I was at the time going to see Carol Burnett's play that she produced with her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood Arms, I think it was what it was. And Carol was in town at the time, and I remember going to the theater, and it was an off-Broadway theater. There was only about 22 people that attended because everything was closed. You couldn't even get a cab. I mean, I walked.
Well, did you see where...
I saw Carol.
you saw Carol, yeah. But yesterday, the city of New York, I guess by a mandate of some sort, canceled all Broadway shows.
That's smart. Because I will tell you, I remember walking from NYU all the way to like 65th. I walked it like 60 blocks. It took me like, I don't know, four or five. I don't even remember how many hours it took.
You walked that?
I walked it because there was no way to get around. I was meeting my sister-in-law for breakfast. And then
talk
I had,
about aerobic
and
exercise.
And I was in a suit. And I just remember up to my knees, past my knees, my bottom of my suit pants were like soaked. Because throughout the day, oh, it was awful. It was awful. So, but it's pretty in New York when it snows. It really is. It's a beautiful, beautiful time there. How you doing? Speaking of getting the hell out of here, you're going to Key West, huh?
Yes, we're leaving this afternoon. First stop actually is Pensacola, Florida, and seeing a friend there right on the Florida-Alabama border, and then headed south on the down the Gulf Coast. And eventually ending up in Key West, hopefully to see someone who is a friend to all of us on WGN and a mentor for many of us, myself included, Lyle Dean.
Wow.
So we might have a visit with Lyle. And then before we come home, Dave, we are scheduled to go to the Kennedy Space Center. And it just so happens there is a launch scheduled for the day we're there. So we'll be checking in on that. We'll be sending back pictures.
Very
on that.
Nice.
Count on that.
Very cool. Very cool, Dave. Well, you know, you're leaving in a perfect time.
Well, you know, but comparatively speaking, this winter hasn't been all that bad. Yes, of course, a week ago it was very cold, but look at what the East Coast just got socked with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. All right, well, let's jump into a little history
here. Let's go.
Let's do it. First of all, we did talk about Jack Brickhouse. 1924, it was his birthday. It's his 100th, 1916, it's his 100th birthday, if you can believe that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
100 years.
100 years of Jack Brickhouse.
Great that you had Pat on earlier. I think Andy Mazur joined you as well.
Yeah, I think so at some point. Yeah. It was. We did it in 2014 when Jack was honored at Wrigley Field, because Roger and I were talking about this too. He is so removed from a couple generations. He retired in 1981.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing him, the hey-hays and the enthusiasm so vividly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, not.
That's because I'm old, Dave.
Oh, we're all old, for God's sake. Come on. So just shortly after his birth in 1924, the ice cream cone rolling machine was patented by Carl Taylor. So that was really kind of the introduction of the ice cream cone to America. 1956, Elvis Presley's first appearance on television. Now, a lot of people think it was the Ed Sullivan show. But it was his actual first appearance was on a show called the Dorsey Brothers Stage Show.
With probably the band leaders, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey.
That's exactly right. Let's take a quick listen to that first appearance.
We have a nice show lined up, ladies and gentlemen. And the next young man we're going to introduce has made a fabulous success throughout the country doing one-nighters and working in nightclubs. He's been causing quite a sensation here on stage show these last few weeks. And we're bringing him back right now to repeat a number he did a few weeks ago called Tutti Frutti. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Elvis Presley.
Wop, bop, loom, up, lop, bam, boom, tootie, fruity, oh, Rudy, tootie, fruity, oh, Rudy, tootie, fruity, oh, Rudy, tootie, fruity, oh, Rudy, tootie, fruity, oh, Rudy. Wop, bop, loom, up, lop, bam, boom, I got a gal named Sue. You know just what?
Pretty cool. But people really do associate his first appearance, just like so many others, like the Beatles and so forth, on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right, right. And you're right, it was the Dorsey Brothers, and quite a change from what the Dorsey Brothers were featuring on their program at that time. You know, some of the singers from the earlier generation, if you will. Not too many years before that, there was a show called Your Hit Parade, and featuring... singers, maybe, Eddie Fisher, Rosemary Clooney, people like that. And along comes Elvis.
boom. Hello. That woke everybody
changed
up, didn't
things,
it?
Yes.
Yeah, it did. So speaking of blizzards, Dave, 1967, this was the week that the Chicago blizzard struck with a record 23 inches of snowfall, causing 800 buses and 50,000 automobiles to be abandoned. I think this is a report we might have from CBS, from WBBM. Let's take a listen.
The windy city of Chicago is white as well as windy, battered by a furious winter storm which dumped 2 feet of snow across the Midwest. 68 deaths were traced to the blizzard. 10-foot drifts were a common sight after the 29-hour snowfall which brought this giant city to a standstill. Some 10,000 cars, buses, and trucks were abandoned on the streets and highways. Train and airline operations were halted, some for several days. There was widespread looting, and many fires broke out. Helicopters flew emergency missions with food, drugs, and blood supplies. Milk, bread, fuel, and mail deliveries were all stopped by the snowstorm, described as one of the biggest and worst of the century. It reduced Chicago to a toddling town.
Now, I was only 6 months old, really, when this blizzard hit.
You were all snuggled up nice and warm.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, young man.
Start waving your finger, Dave. I can see you in the screen.
Let me tell you something there.
Yeah.
But as I remember, the day that started, it was we had maybe an inch or two on the ground already. And the forecast was just for a general type of snowfall,
So we didn't get a warning.
It
wasn't really a big warning that
there was no real warning that this was about to come. One of the reasons why, if we had Tom Onskilling or Mike Hammernick right now, they would explain that there was no Doppler radar at that time, so forecasts weren't as pinpoint accurate as they are these days. But we went to school. I could walk to school, grade school at that time. Mm-hmm. But by 12 noon, it was apparent that this thing was going to be a major storm and it wasn't going to quit. And they let us out of school around noon or 12:30. And there was already a good 6 or 8 inches walking back home from that.
Wow.
It took my father 3.5 hours to get home from work. Ordinarily, he could get home in a half hour. Not that night. He was lucky to make it back because, as that report just said, thousands of vehicles stranded on the roads, and they made it.
See, I remember more the blizzard of 79.
79,
yeah,
sure.
Which was something recognizable, which was later in the month. Another very important breaking news story that happened in 1973. Barnaby Jones premiered on CBS, Dave.
I don't think he ever said, woo, doggy.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. But it was the lovely Lee Merriweather who was on that show.
Oh, that was his secretary.
Who was Catwoman, also in the Batman movie, which is what I remember. But she was Miss USA, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Miss America. Yeah.
She was also on a very brief show, a sci-fi show in the 60s called The Time Tunnel.
Okay.
Lee Merriweather was on.
All right. Then 19... There she is. And then 1977, the first broadcast of... of Roots aired on ABC. Let's take a little listen.
Roots. There it is.
The true story Alex Haley uncovered in his 12 years search across the seven generations of his ancestry. After 2 years of production, we present this incredible saga in an epic motion picture. Roots, the current number one best-selling novel, is the television event of the year.
And later in 1982, Late Night with David Letterman premiered on NBC TV. Here's his first guest, Bill Murray.
Hi, Bill.
How's it going?
Fine. Nice to see you.
Good.
Thanks for being on the show. I certainly appreciate that.
I missed the first part of the show, by the way. What happened? Is it going well? I know this is the first show, and I think this guy needs a little support. Dave Letterman.
Bill Murray was also his first guest on the CBS show. I miss Dave. I miss Dave on television. Although it's being, I'm getting my fill of Johnny Carson now.
Isn't that refreshing to see those?
Yeah, the classic episodes.
Yeah,
we had Jeff Soltzing, who's the nephew of Johnny, on, who runs Johnny's estate earlier tonight, and talking about the ratings of the show for the first couple weeks it premiered were beating out Kimmel. If you could believe that,
I think. Dean mentioned that.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Which is pretty cool. 1984, Michael Jackson was burned during the filming for a Pepsi commercial, if you remember that. He was burned on a scalp of his hair.
That's right.
His sister Janet, though, in 2004, exposed her breast during the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
The wardrobe malfunction.
Yes, that's right.
Let's see what happens in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there as well. 1986, Super Bowl 20, the Chicago Bears beat the Patriots 46-10 in New Orleans. And do you remember who the Super Bowl MVP was?
MVP?
Mm-hmm. Super Bowl shuffle for you, Dave.
No, I don't remember.
Richard Dent.
Oh, it was Richard Dent.
It was the MVP. Listen, have a great time in Florida, my friend, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Dave, you take care, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks from today.
Safe travels, pal.
Okay.
All right.